Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Boom. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Kevin Carter and Paul Mack. Mr. Mack, how you doing today, sir?
Salutations. Survived another wild Sunday in the NFL. But other than that, I'm good.
Good, man. Mr. Carter, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing well. How are y'all, fellas?
Hey, man. Can't complain, man.
As a matter of fact, Cortez, since you always ask, Cortez, how are you doing, sir? Because no one ever goes, Cortez, how are you doing? So, we gotta change it up. Cortez, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, man. I had a long day in a courthouse helping my brother out with some stuff. So, it's been a long, boring day. But besides that, I'm doing well. He just handled some stuff that's between him and his former stuff. I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But I was there helping him out and stuff gotcha. Like that. So fun stuff. But hey, I'm great.
Yeah, say
I'm
no
great.
More.
Sounds like contract negotiations. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yep. We'll just leave it as simple.
Sounds like something I know very well.
Kevin, you can definitely relate.
There you go.
I gotta say no more.
Yep.
Good. Well, good deal. Hey, well, before we get into the show, I'm gonna give the floor to Mr. Carter here, and let him talk to the people, man.
Okay, so I just want to let everyone know that me and Cortez started this. I don't even know how many years ago now. I can't. It's when you were in Boston.
About 2014.
About 2014.
February.
Almost 10 years of doing this. And last doing it. But I think it's come time with all the stuff that's been switching up, everything like that. Stuff going on in life and a lot of focus on other things. This is going to be my last as you want full time being a part of the Balls in Our Court podcast. So this is going to be like my retirement, sort of say, but I will come back on. Like if something big happens, of course, I'll come back for like NBA preview or Super Bowl previews or playoffs. I'll come back for shows every once in a while. I'm not going to be permanently gone, but as far as like every week goes, yeah, I'm going to be retiring from the podcast game. I'll be coming on and making special guest spots every once in a while. But as far as it goes, Cortez has found himself a great new co-host in Paul, and I'll gladly pass the torch over to Paul and Cortez and let them run with, of course, mine and Cortez's baby that we started that many years ago. So that's about it.
Well, I'll let you go first before I dissect. So,
no, man, like I said, for me, it's been fun having the opportunity to work with you guys. I know Cortez and I have, you know, we've been talking on and off for a few years, and I've hopped on a couple situations here and there, but you know, I know how this stuff can be. And, you know, it's hard. It gets hard when you got to balance life and a job and all kinds of things are happening. And I know, you know, Kevin works, you know, different hours, different shifts, stuff like that. But I also know how important it is to you guys that it keeps going. So, you know, I'm here to support my guys. You know, I've known you both for a very long time. You know, I want to see the success from both of you guys. So, you know, I'm honored to step in and be able to help Cortez keep this thing rolling, and we can keep it moving in an upward trajectory. We got a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff going on, but you know, all the transitions to, you know, to video and all the social media stuff, I know it's a lot. But you know, I'm here to help get you guys where you want to go. So we're going to make this as, you know, fun as possible. And, you know, Kevin's always going to be there. And, you know, I look forward to where the future can take things.
To my brother, Kevin Carter, this is a guy that is very knowledgeable in the subject of sports, especially football. And I know his passion for sports matched mine. So when he see me was engaged in sports as I was about 10 years ago, this was his suggestion to let's start a podcast. So Kevin was the one that pushed me to definitely expand my horizons when it comes to sports. I think he knew my background with my college background and what I went to school for in communications, and and having someone initially that did podcasts before helped me make that transition. So Kevin made it an easy transition, not only with his knowledge, but with his humor. So this is a big brother to me, and this is how we connect. And when I moved to Jacksonville, part of the reason was to kind of upstart this podcast. We went to barbershops. We had college players on. We had NFL players on the show, and many other guests that come into the show. So I know Kevin is always welcome back to come on the show. And there's always a seat for Mr. Carter here. This guy brings a bunch of knowledge. And sometimes life happens, man. Like, there's a lot of things going on in life that you need to attend to. And you just got to put yourself first in some of that stuff. So as hard as it is for, you know, it won't be. We started off the first episode, the Cortez, Paul, and Kevin Carter show. And then he the one that chose the name Balls Not Court Podcast. So a lot of the shows got Kevin handprints on it. And it's cool just to see, you know, where we're at, how good we had gotten, and the transition that we made. And Kevin's going to be watching from afar, and he's going to support from afar. And he's always welcome back to the show. And I'm happy to have Paul Mack on the show. We've been in discussions, as he said, for years. And I just wanted to make sure that we keep this thing going. And we just keep pushing it. So, Kevin, thank you, brother. I love you, my man. And please, man, always feel free whenever you want to come back on this show, man. This is your baby that you helped create. So thank you for everything that you did, man. And I love you, man. Thank you, brother.
God damn, man. Why you got to make a brother tear up?
I'm going to throw the Pit Vipers on for Kev.
Put these on for Kev. I know. Shit. I need some Pit Vipers now, but I won't be able to see, you know, cataracts and shit. But but I appreciate all the kind words. Like I said, it's not a goodbye. It's I'll see you down the road.
Or you'll be up in the skyboxes, buddy. Got you. Don't worry about it.
Look, since we had a Toy Story fucking game, it's just so long, partner. That's what it is. And the immortal words are Woody. So long, partner, and I'll see you down the road. It like I said, this is not a goodbye. So let's not make it my funeral yet. I still probably got about a good 7-8 years left. So, but yeah, I'll definitely be back on, especially when something big happens or when I see it stalling out, I'll be like, look, do y'all need an injection real fast? Because I'll come on. But yeah, but no, really, I appreciate the kind words. I may even send my pics to you guys just so you have me on there in spirit, just so we can keep that going throughout the year. But yeah, like I said, I just, there's a time and a place that you know when it's right to just take a break from everything. And like right now in my life, I think it's just time for me to start breaking off some stuff because I needed to. And I saw that you were in a good place with Paul, and I like what Paul brings to the show. And I know that he'll keep it going with you, and y'all keep the baby safe. But if y'all start making money off of this shit, you damn sure better cut a motherfucker off.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Remember, man, you're part of this show, regardless of you stepping away for a bit. So,
especially if you trademark the fucking name.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, it's going to be in the worst, man. Like I said, we just trying to move up from here, man. And you still a part of it, even though you stepping away to take a step back. So you still engraving this show, man. Please send your picks, man. Send your picks. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get right into it. I think Kevin's already in this field. So let's get dissect to the show and hop into it and let him dive deep for one last time for sure, for the time being. Anywho, week 4, NFL. Quick reactions to week 4. Kev, what's your thoughts to week 4? What's your immediate reactions to that week, man?
What the fuck is going on in the NFL in this early season? Like, this shit has gone fucking nuts. Like, the NFL should stand, instead of not for long, it should be nobody fucking loses it. And this is just gone. I'm shocked at how the season has played off so far. My God, we got a fucking game played in Andy's room, for God's sakes. What the fuck is going on this year?
Ball, your quick reactions to week 4?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote down a couple takeaways. So for me, the Detroit Lions are pretty good.
Yeah, very.
And I know Cortez was on that train early this year, but the Detroit Lions are pretty good. Dan Campbell might be one of my favorite coaches in the league. Like that guy's great. I look forward to seeing how Detroit goes, here on out. And then like kind of Kevin said, number 2 was Jacksonville. Apparently they live in London now because they're playing again this weekend there. But that whole
hold up, don't start that madness. We can't. You do not start London talking Jaguars on my podcast saying we're going to live over there. You can't do that shit. That is one thing. If you're going to be taking over my spot, you cannot bring up Jaguars moving London. You can't do it. That's a restriction I have on this show. I will come back on here and shoot you in the kneecap if I have to.
We could just send you over there. It'd be like a weird alternate reality Ted Lasso. No, I am not
going to live there. Cheers, mate. Hey. I'm coming. No. They are called the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You do got a great London accent, Kevin. So
it's true. Yeah, you do. regardless of the across the pond situation, just the wildness of Andy's toy box. That was a wild thing to watch. I mean, it was a little janky at times, but pretty entertaining to see. I could have done without Booger McFarland calling that game, but I'm pretty sure he just wanted to eat pizza the whole time. It was super. Yeah,
that's
it
my
was
super one.
Weird. He just kept saying he wanted the pizza plant.
They should have broke the Booger McFarland toy. Like they should have broke it and sent it over to Sid's house.
Yeah, that's for sure. also, too, man. Buffalo Bills, they're figuring it out. they made a statement this week. So that was a big one for me. Is just they literally just took Miami out back and just we had to run a little ID on Miami to see if they're as good as we think they are, because they haven't really played a lot of good teams yet. So Buffalo kind of took them to the woodshed, and then Mac Jones. I'm officially going to add Mac Jones to the "oh brother, that guy stinks" train, because that guy stinks. That was one of the worst losses in Bill Belichick's coaching career with New England against Dallas. So, and he benched him and still said he's the starting quarterback going forward. So week five is going to be crazy. I don't even want to get into some of this. We'll get into that stuff later, but just those few things for me were really big takeaways. Is just how bad Mac Jones is, considering that was a team that had Tom Brady for the last, umpteen years. But it's going to be a wild week five. So, those are my takeaways from what I saw.
Week four is bonkers, man. Like, it's just been a weird NFL season so far. I just can't pinpoint it. San Francisco's dominating everybody they play. The Eagles is in competitive games, but they're still undefeated. The Bills had a stinker in the opener, and then they just looked dominant since. And Von Miller is set to come back soon, I believe. I saw something that was about that he may be coming back soon. So
yeah, he's on the way.
Yeah, just don't come back this week. Just don't come back this week. Yeah,
there you go. But yeah, week four is over there, and then watching the Toy Story game was just weird.
It was fun. It was legit fun. I'm sorry, but when a guy goes down with injury and the claw comes up and picks him up and takes him off the field, that shit's amazing. Legit, the only thing that would have been better was when he come to pick up the player, had the little green guys go, "the claw," and then he grabs the guy and moves him off the field. That would have been the only thing that would have been better.
The halftime show was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Duke Kaboom. Duke Kaboom should play the Super Bowl.
Duke Kaboom. Yeah, him jumping over Usher.
That's it. That's all I need.
Oh my God.
I'm okay with that one.
I'm sorry. Good deal. I'm sorry. I enjoyed the Toy Story thing. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Especially when Trevor took off running and fucking fire started coming out from under his feet when he was running. And then when we got the pick six and the guy fire came out, and then the balloons come up when they fucking score a touchdown, and the little green army man's got a Jaguar sign. I'm like, we have never been more relevant than we are right now in this Toy Story game. Holy shit.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, let's move to the next topic here. Eagles are 4-0, but is it a cause of concern how they win the games? And I'm going to go with Paul. What's your thoughts about these Eagles' competitive games, except for one?
I feel like the slow starts have to catch up to them eventually, right? I think they're very explosive on offense, but they're gonna come along and they're going to play against someone that's going to slap them in the mouth and be able to play defense. I mean, we thought they'd win big against the Commanders, considering especially the Commanders stunk it up last week. But again, they played Buffalo, so maybe that's just how really, really good Buffalo is, which again could speak volumes on where Philadelphia is right now. I know they got a lot of pieces, and there was some coaching things happening there, but they haven't really played anybody yet. I know we covered that on the first episode of this podcast, was that just their schedule is pretty light until about six games in. So I think once it starts to get a little competitive, we're going to start see how good Philly really is. But I don't think there's enough of a sample size there to say that they're great. Aside from the game in Tampa where they started off pretty hot against Tampa. But I'm not impressed by Philly. It's just they just got a lot of explosiveness. So if games are close, if you're only up by, 7 or 10, they can catch up pretty easily. But I think there's problems there that we're still waiting to figure out and see what exactly those are. It's going to take one injury to that team, and I think they're going to really, really be in a bad way. That or someone needs to figure out how to stop that little rugby scrum that they do on fourth and one, because no other team in the league seems to be able to do it. I've just seen people not be able to get a yard, but for some reason they can.
Somebody needs to hit the center in the ball. That's the only way it's going to stop.
If you
that.
Can get lower than Jason Kelce, go right ahead, man. That guy's a man. But yeah, so I mean, you know, I'm waiting to see the meatier part of the schedule, see them play some of the top teams in the league, and then we can reassess Philly later. But I'm not impressed with Philly right now.
Yeah, your thoughts on this 4-0 start and how they're winning the games?
It's like I said earlier, it's just part of this weird, fluky ass season that we've gotten going so far. It's just crazy how everything is weird, how people are eking out games, how the Eagles look one way, San Francisco looks a totally different way, Kansas City looks all wonky and out of place. It's just one of those, it's just a crazy ass start of the season so far. So I'm kind of just pushing it off as, hey, it's still early and everybody's trying to get shit going and everything. But the thing that looks off for the Eagles to me is their defense. Like by this time last year, they already had 93 sacks. I think, no, it wasn't that many, but you get what I'm saying. They had a lot of sacks and a lot of pressures, but they ain't got that going on right now like they did last year. So it's just like we said before, this season has been wacky. I haven't bought out on Philadelphia yet. I really haven't bought in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so the Eagles, besides them beating the Bucs pretty convincingly, they was in a dogfight to pass to begin the season 25-20, Vikings 34-28, and the Commanders 34-31 in overtime. This is a middle of the pack defense that is and scoring defense in 16 out of 32 teams. They was top eight last year. So Kevin mentioned it right. Yeah, they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So from a lot of consensus, at least at the beginning of this podcast, we really thought that the NFC is the Eagles to pretty much run or its own. So far, it has really gone to San Francisco, who has been dominating teams so far. So it's still a lot of work, still a lot of games to be played, but just the 3 out of 4 games that are like nail biters against clearly inferior opponents, it's concerning, but they're winning games, and that's all that matters, that they're winning the games through this, if it's a little bit of a struggle, especially on the defense side of the ball. Just odd to see them give up that many points, as Kevin mentioned as well. So, all right. Next question, we go into Jamar Chase. So Jamar Chase, the Tennessee beat the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3. And he used a line. They asked him at the end of the game in his post-game presser, "I'm always wide effing open line." I'll let Kevin say the word, but
he went Keyshawn on their ass. He said, "I'm always fucking open." He goes, "I'm always fucking open. Throw me the fucking ball." That's what he should have said.
So, Kev, I'm going to go with you. Who should he direct his frustration on?
Everybody. Right now, the people I would be frustrated the most with is the people that thought Joe Burrow should have his hurt ass out there in the first place right now. That's the most frustrating thing about this. You knew he was hurt. You know he's not himself. Getting the fuck off the field before you do something serious. And one, you're going to hurt his confidence, because we know Joe has a lot of confidence, but if you keep going out there and throwing him out there, especially with your shitty offensive line, and two, he can't fucking move, get him out. That's who I would be directing all my frustration to, because he can't, like, if you're going to direct it to Joe, like, you know he's hurt. You don't direct it to somebody, especially a teammate that you have in high regard like that. You can't throw that shit out to him. But that's who I would be throwing it out to. I'd be throwing it out to the dumb motherfucker that think they should be throwing his ass on the field right now.
Hey, fair statement there. Paul, your sentiments towards this statement?
We just wrapped up week 4. And I'm pretty sure, aside from week 1, we've opened the show talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. And for whatever reason, into the maybe handful of Bengals fans that probably listen to this show, I don't know how many there are, but
six.
Okay. Maybe the Bengals just, maybe they're not that good. I mean, I know Joe Burrow's hurt, but like Ja'Marr Chase is always open, but no one else can make a play. And, you know, is it the coach? Is, they have this, is it the coaching? Is it whatever it is? Something's off. And it's just, they're just not a good football team right now. And maybe we can just chalk it up to that. Maybe we chalk it up to the fact that, like, look, at what point do you just sit down Joe Burrow, just pack him in, just give him a little sack of lunch, let him sit on the sideline? But because they're at a point now where everyone's going to get so far ahead of them that it's not going to matter. I mean, they're not even competitive. They're not even in football games. Like, it's not even remotely close. And regardless of that's just how hurt Joe Burrow is, regardless of that, whatever the situation is, T Higgins, I think he got hurt this week, which, I mean, he's basically been non-existent either. So aside from, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, and that's really all they got. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Of course, every wide receiver is going to say that they're always open. They want the ball. It's going to be everyone. That's your job as the number one, is like, hey, I'm always open, throw me the ball. But if you can't throw him the ball, then you're going to have him frustrated. You're going to have Joe Burrow frustrated. Then the fans are going to be frustrated because the team just absolutely stinks. So what are you going to do? I just know that coming out and saying you're always open and throw the ball, that'd be awesome if your quarterback was able to, you know, move around the pocket or get out of trouble or, you know, whatever it is. But
had time.
Yeah, there's just so much going on. I mean, the guy can't step his way out of a paper bag right now. Like, the guy's hurt, and he's too stubborn to tell you that he's hurt. He's going to want to play. The guy's a competitor. But at some point, for the sake of your franchise, for your fans, for the future of everything, you need to literally, someone needs to corral that kid and tell him, hey, look, you need to relax. You need to sit down. Because
yeah,
it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Nope.
Unless they go off and win eight in a row or something, like, their season is basically a wash right now. They're playing from behind, and they're going to risk future seasons if they keep Joe Burrow in there. So if Ja'Marr Chase is always open, find someone else that can throw him the ball, because it ain't going to be Joe Burrow.
And you paid that guy how much money to stand back there and get his ass whoop hurt this year? Yeah, you need to sit him, because your offensive line is back to sucking again.
Yeah.
They're in bungle territory.
Oh, yeah, they went backwards. So remember that pick I did at the beginning of the season? Yeah, fuck it.
Hey, well, listen, this is a championship contender team, and a lot of folks definitely thought for sure that this is going to be a team to beat. And Joe Burrow just kind of had that injury in preseason and really trying to play on it. But as far as Ja'Marr Chase frustrations, I mean, he definitely, and I agree with Kevin, he should definitely blame management. They're aware of the situation. Joe Burrow at some point in time need to just come to terms with himself. Like, listen, I'm hurt, man. Maybe I should just sit out and just regroup myself. Evaluate career. Joe Burrow, you got a long career ahead of you, so maybe it's time to take a step back. And Ja'Marr Chase, maybe he just need to be aware of the situation that, you know, this is either Joe is trying to prove something by playing, or maybe there's just something that needs to happen in regards to this. So, but Ja'Marr Chase, just I don't know if it's he was very confident coming to see. There's nothing wrong with being confident, but for him to have that kind of explosion like that, just let you know that that whole locker room is probably shaky on Joe Burrow playing right now. So there's some kinks in the armor, it seems like. So be interesting to see what happens next year with the Bengals, because they definitely got a dilemma that they got to figure out for sure going forward. All right, so we kind of touched bases on this a little bit, so we just kind of briefly talk about this. Kevin, your team was part of this Toy Story game. How, from a 1 to 10, how do you rate the Toy Story experience? And should they repeat this format in the future?
In the immortal words of Billy Bob from Friday Night Lights, I give it a 10. A fucking tan. A tan. It couldn't have been. The funny part was I watched it on the regular commentary on my one TV because I knew there was going to be a delay, like a big delay to where I could see a touchdown and then run into the other room and watch it. And from the touchdown celebrations, the fucking slinky dog being the yardage markers. And then when they get a penalty, he backed that ass up to back up the, it was fucking phenomenal. From Duke Kaboom doing the halftime show to it, the claw moving the ball and fucking injured people off the field. It was phenomenal. From watching Bijan Robinson fucking do a cut as a fucking toy. It was amazing. It was fucking fun. And it was for kids, but damn it, I enjoyed the shit out of it. And they need to do it again. But what they need to do it, but what they need to do it with is they need to do it with Peyton and Eli Manning calling the fucking game.
That would be cool. That's
what they need. I want to see a big four-headed Peyton Manning toy and a weird wiry Eli Manning toy on the fucking thing doing fucking commentary.
Great. That's great.
Y'all tell me that shit. You tell me that shit wouldn't be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that'd be great.
It's a cool concept. I know they did this thing where they do the slime time Nickelodeon broadcasts where like they just take a game that already played and they put a bunch of Nickelodeon effects on it and like whatever, that's fine. But Disney literally said, "Hold my beer, I got you. We're gonna literally put these people in Toy Story." I just wish they could find anyone better to commentate that game. Both those announcers, not it. Those are not the guys. What I
said. Exactly.
Those are not the guys that can capture that. What's going on? Like you just needed the whole. If you're gonna go silly, like if you're gonna go straight silly, like you need it to be straight silly. Like you just need just some silly commentators. Maybe people who don't even know about football trying to just talk football to the kids that are watching the game. Like kids aren't gonna learn anything watching Booger McFarland talk about eating pizza off a pizza truck for 3 hours.
I'll tell you another guy that should have been on it, Pat fucking McAfee.
He would have ate
it up. Like you need, like Paul said, you need somebody just off. That's why I said Peyton and Eli would have been perfect for it. And then you make it like their Monday Night Football show where guests just show up. Like they had Will Ferrell on Monday Night Football. Could you imagine Will Ferrell as a toy showing up for fucking in Andy's room for a fucking football game? This shit writes itself. People, come on, just get Booger McFarland on my goddamn.
I mean,
TV
not even
screen.
That.
I don't care if he's in regular form or Toy Story form.
You could have just had random
somebody
toys
hired this
in.
Man.
You could be having random toys showing up to do interviews. You could have had Super Stretch Armstrong. You could have had Barbie come in there. You could have had, you know, God knows what's going on. You could have had all kinds of wild scenario. You could have had freaking whatever other properties Disney owns. But there's so many toys and things that you could have had.
They own all of there. It.
Yeah. So the idea was cool. Like it was fun to watch. I loved when the guys like feet caught on fire when they were running. Like that was pretty fun.
That was amazing.
And it reminded me of like NFL Blitz. Like I think Bijan Robinson made like a one-handed catch and he like caught fire. Like that stuff's fun. Like I would love to see like the NBA equivalent of that, like NBA Jam style. Like if people just like something wild happened with like those kind of graphics and that technology, but it's a cool concept.
Well, if it was the NBA game, the claw would be busy because always all some of them motherfuckers are getting hurt.
That's true.
Pick up Anthony Davis 17 times for a fucking game.
That's true. Yeah. But no, but like I said, it was fun. It made a Jaguar Falcon game interesting. And I know it's funny. I had a friend who his kids, they watch a lot of Disney Plus and they were like legit looking forward to watching it. They're like, oh, the Toy Story football game is going to be on. So like the idea is there. The technology is there. Obviously, there's obviously going to be a delay because you're taking all the stuff and you have to convert it into all the weird, wild technology that's happening. But I had to watch it on mute for a little bit. Just the announcing was terrible. And I just would have loved either having just kids announce the thing or like whatever, like anything would have been better than that. I think that ruined the experience. So going forward, if they're going to keep playing in Andy's toys, whatever, just give me better color commentary, because those guys did not capture any of that action. It looked way more exciting on the screen than what they were telling me was happening, and it kind of ruined it for me.
You know what I would really like them to do? Here's what I would really like them to do. Get fucking Tom Hanks and get fucking goddamn Tim Allen and have Buzz and fucking Woody do commentary. Done. Done.
Somewhere.
Give them a blank check. Give them a blank fucking check. Tell them, look, dude, we just want y'all to come and talk over this fucking football game. And boom, and that's it. And you know what, Disney? If you want to do this again, you have a friend in me.
It was cool, man. It kind of took me a while to warm up. I was taken aback when I first saw it. But seeing some of the animation, and I kind of peeked in over a little bit because I actually was recording a podcast with a friend in the UK. So I just kind of peeked over a little bit at it and kind of watched it, seen some of the animations. So I'll be open to see what they can do with a part two with it and see what happens. Love Kevin's idea adding Peyton to Eli. That's freaking fantastic. Bet that'd be hilarious. Pat McAfee, I wonder if he can do it, but I wonder if he can restrain himself from cussing. So, but Peyton and Eli would be freaking amazing on that kind of template, yeah, right there. So that'd be cool. All right. Speaking of, let's break it down, Ken. We'll go and assess our team performance. And I'll let you go first, since your game was a Toy Story early morning game. Break your team performance down, sir.
They did well. They played well. They played enough to win. Defense got their mojo. I guess Desmond Ridder would give anybody their mojo back, but yeah, they played really well on the defensive side of the ball. Offense still looks wonky. The only time the offense don't look wonky is when they get the ball to freaking Evan Engram for some odd reason. The dude is just, since he's came to Jacksonville, has just been a beast. But getting Ridley a touchdown against his old team, that was pretty cool. But yeah, they played well. I was pleased with it. I'm just happy they got the W, because if they would have lost, if I would have woke up at 9 o'clock in the fucking morning on a Sunday and they would have lost to the damn Falcons, I would have been pissed. Whether it had been in fucking Andy's room, Sid's room, my room, your
Marvin's room.
I don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't give a shit what room it was fucking in. The red room from fucking Black Widow. Fucking, I don't give a shit. But goddamn it.
Rooms to go.
Rooms to go. Rack room shoes. Fucking, but I'm just glad they fucking won.
Good to hear, man.
I'm going to add real quick. I saw a thing on the internet today.
Go ahead. What you got?
Pitts out of Atlanta, man.
Kev, you agree with that?
Like, what?
That guy's scouting report. He's like the most athletic tight end of all time, apparently. And this dude, they don't even throw that guy the ball. Like, what are we
he's
doing?
Being,
with that guy?
He's being underutilized. Paul Kapp is being underutilized right now.
What was the reason I said he was being underutilized, Cortez? I said you ain't got that man a fucking quarterback.
Even at that, though, that guy, I think he has like 12 targets. I think he has like 12.
You should be able to
or something, like something crazy.
Yes, well, because
Smith is like this offensive genius, right?
Doo-doo. No, his quarterback is doo doo. I don't give a shit how much of a genius you are. If your quarterback is doo doo, you ain't going to get the ball to nobody. If shit is throwing to you, it's definitely going to slip out of your hands.
Either way,
that's a quotable.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't know. It just
I'm leaving it all out there tonight. God damn it!
I see, you know, man. I see. You know,
figure out how to utilize Kyle Pitts. I think that off, like they were somehow 2-0 whatever, but they need to learn to use that guy better. I mean, it's sad to see that you're like. every year is like, it's Kyle Pitts' year. He's going to show why he was picked so high, why he's the highest draft tight end, blah, blah, blah. And the dude is literally nothing. So I'd be interested to see what he can do with a real quarterback.
And you can't call him a bust until he gets a real fucking quarterback to throw him the damn football. Yeah, because he's not a bust. He fucking had 1,000 yards his rookie season. But until you get him somebody to get him the ball, you can't call him anything except not utilized.
Maybe they got to monitor Drake Maney if they be in that range or whatnot. I know maybe he might. It depends where. But, yeah, no. Short and short, he needs a quarterback. So,
man, right.
I go Nessens. My team is part of the winner's circle finally. Yay, go Broncos. They won. They beat the Bears. They was down 21-7 at halftime, and they made a comeback.
We thought you were going to go jump off a bridge.
Y'all saw my tweets. They was definitely depressing.
We thought you were going to go jump off a mile-high bridge.
Listen, they never, and I on the podcast last week saying they lose to the Bears. This is it, man. This is it. It would have been just been like, I just get my score updates from the Broncos. I ain't tuning in anymore. They came back from 21-7 at halftime. Russell is still looking pretty efficient. Defense is a major concern. I know there's been rumors about Pat Surtain. Someone would create a rumor about him going to Buffalo for a couple of draft picks, first round draft picks. I mean, I don't know, man. Like this team is just wasn't impressed. You know, there's a lot to build on. Victory. Listen, I mean, I guess I should be more happy that we got a victory, but then in hindsight, it was just just the way that we wanted. Justin Fields looked amazing, and I wonder why. You know, that defense just gave him that opportunity to be amazing. But nonetheless, man, it was one of those games that was weird. Now, next week, we have the New York Jets coming up. Zach Wilson is looked pretty good. Zach Wilson also beat us last year. So, and that retrospect is just, it's rough. Because I'm skeptical to see how they're going to do against the Jets. But we'll see, man. I'm just hoping that, you know, they can build on this. And if not, you know, we'll see what we can do with the draft, unfortunately. So
that was a long, long pause. And
yeah, I mean, I should be more excited that we got the win, man, but we didn't get the win. So, I mean, we got the win, but
there's sometimes when you win and you're like, okay, I just can't get excited about that. And you were at that point.
Yeah, I was at that point. And then, of course, some of the Broncos country like, a win's a win, guys. I'm like, the way we won, guys, is what I'm questioning. Of course, a win's a win, but the way we won is exactly what I'm questioning.
Right now, the way the NFL is going, a fucking win is a win.
Exactly. All right, so Paul, we'll go into you and have you discuss your New York G-man. So your thoughts on
John, sir? I wasn't hearing stuff for a little bit. I had to step off, come back. I got a phone call. They were asking me if I wanted the Giants buried or cremated. So I had to take that phone call real quick. But it's not looking good. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm probably going to – I expect the ashes to be here probably by the middle of next week.
Paul just like, keep it short and simple, nothing to elaborate.
You know, so what we'll they really, you know what New York really needs to burn and put in the ashes? That fucking Daniel Jones contract.
Oh man. I mean, I wonder if it's, listen, they need Saquon Barkley. That line is but Danny Dimes has got to do a little, he's got to do better. He's getting paid all that money, and to perform like that, he's got to do better. He's got to do
Danny
better.
Danny Dimes played like Danny Pennies.
When your boy, Drew Locke came in the game, I said to myself, hey, we might have a shot. Then he scrambled for like 20 yards. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then he throws like a 50 yard touch, almost pretty much a touchdown. It got to the 1 yard line. But once that team can't tackle, team can't stop anyone from tackling the quarterback. I think Daniel Jones got sacked 10 times yesterday. It's another one of those things. You're literally paying a bunch of money to a guy that you can't protect. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. And then what? Then what are you going to do? There's no, there's no contingency plan. You don't want to pay Saquon Barkley. You don't want to pay any of these people. You bring in Darren Waller, can't throw him the ball. It's bad. And like I said, I'm just going to we can just have a moment of silence right now for him if you want, because I'm quite frankly, I'm tired of even thinking about it. So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's move on here and go to the next topic. Player of the week. Who is invited to the barbecue? Mr. Carter was invited to the barbecue, sir.
Oh, damn. I'm going to invite. Well, right now, I argue that he's the best player in freaking football. I'm going to invite CMC to the barbecue. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, come on over.
You got a nice brisket waiting for him. All right, KC.
He's got nice everything waiting on him.
Hey, man. There you go. Mr. Mac, who's invited to the barbecue?
I was torn between two guys, but since Kevin went that route, I feel like the obvious choice. So I'm gonna go with my number two choice. I'm gonna go with CJ Stroud for the Houston
Texans. Nice. Nice.
That was a big win for Houston. That was impressive. I know none of us saw that coming at all.
Ow.
But he, 306 yards, two touchdowns, no turnovers. I mean, they're 2-2. That might be about as many wins to get the rest of the year. I don't know, but that was a hell of a performance from that rookie. So,
I think it's the second most passing yards by a rookie in his first four games in the history of the NFL.
It's crazy, man. He was throwing the thing all over the field. So I had a number one kind of locked in, but after looking at that stat line, I'm going to give it to CJ Stroud. Come on over.
Gotcha. Mine's going to be a different perspective. Who's invited to the barbecue? I'm going with Chris Jones. I don't know if y'all saw that post game interview that Rodney Harrison tried to egg him on.
You brought him like 2 weeks ago.
So, I did.
Okay. I brought
Someone
him.
Did.
Yeah, no, yeah, 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 yeah. Nah, Kevin bought him. No, so
he's Chris big Jones, though. He's got to fucking eat.
Yeah, he's got to eat, man. But no, the cool thing he did. Football's a brotherhood. Football's a brotherhood at the end of the day. And I guess Rodney Harrison forgot to just forgot about that. He literally was just trying to get a response, and Chris Jones just didn't fall into that. So. Listen, how dare you crap on a young man like that? That actually played good football that night. Zach Wilson played good football that night. And a lot of Chiefs players was very complimentary of what he did. And for Rodney Harrison to say, oh, I watch a tape and he's not this certain type of player and stuff like that, shame on you, Rodney Harrison.
He called him garbage.
He called him garbage. Rodney Harrison was one of the cheapest fucking players and dirtiest players in the NFL when he played. Fuck you, Rodney Harrison, for calling anybody anything, you piece of shit.
I agree with what Kevin just said. And I can't believe that I'm complimenting a Chiefs player for the love of God. But there's just sometimes it's just all about being a human and doing the right thing and saying the right thing. So kudos to Chris Jones and to what Kevin just said about Rodney Harrison. I second that. Yeah.
It's crazy too, because Zach Wilson was getting it all week.
Yeah.
Like that dude was just getting kicked while he was down. Fireman Ed hates him. Joe Namath hates him. Everybody just hates that kid. And
you know who loves him though? Their moms.
Sure. 100%. But for a guy that was just getting dragged in the mud for 6 days in a row, to put on a performance like he did, like it's okay to tip your hat to a guy every once in a while, whether he played outside of his skill level, whatever happened, whether playing on primetime woke him up a little bit. I don't know, but it's crazy to see a guy on national TV that wasn't even in the game, that hasn't played in however many years, that played on some really good football teams with some really good players, to just flat out just try to get a guy to admit that someone's garbage. At the end of the day, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. There's only 32 of those.
Yep.
Regardless of how he got it, you know, he was drafted real high out of BYU with his whole thing he was doing whenever he came out in the draft. But but like, you know, I didn't realize that clip until I saw it earlier today, because like I just saw like Chris Jones was kind of trending a little bit and people were talking about just how he handled himself. And I would just imagine if that's, you know, anyone really, like I don't like really anybody like that does a job. If they're bad at a job, like whatever. But if you're not doing that job and you're on the outside and you're trying to tell them that person stinks, that person's trash, like go ahead, go play quarterback for the New York Jets, pal. Like go figure it out. But you know, fuck it. Zach Wilson can come to the goddamn barbecue. Bring him over too.
Absolutely. Yep. Like, absolutely,
you know, it's all love. I know he plays for the Jets and all this stuff's happening, but you know, Roger
he just can't talk. Kick rocks. He just can't talk to my mom.
Yeah,
can he bring some hot moms?
I agree.
Oh yeah, that he can loves, do. Yeah, that
he loves
can
hot definitely moms. Do. Yeah,
he can but, bring them.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. This is similar to our little rant about sportsmanship and stuff that happened with Colorado a few weeks back. How people are trying to take people's scholarships and all this wild stuff. Like, if you're not out there, just fucking watch it and just, you know, admire the people that are out there doing it. But I've never seen a person with that kind of a platform that's so disconnected from the situation to just say that someone's garbage.
Yeah.
And it was
So Rodney Harrison, what we're telling you is stop being a fucking dick.
In short, yes.
Well, plus, I mean, he's up on that stage with, you know, Tony Dungy and all these other guys. So, I mean, he's a reflection of all those guys. Like, he's just making a complete ass of himself in front of that whole crew. Because, I mean, he's up there with Chris Sims and Tony. Like, Chris Sims wasn't exactly great either. So, I mean, it's one of those deals where it's like you're up on a stage with a guy who was a kind of a low key kind of garbage quarterback, but.
Bill,
you know,
Sims won a
fucking
Super Bowl.
Did he?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yes, Sims won a Super Bowl with the guy.
No, I'm talking about Chris Sims, little Sims. He played for a little bit.
Chris Sims, yeah, exactly. Idiot.
That's what I'm saying. Chris Sims, so it's like
Chris. I thought you said Bill.
No, you better put some respect on Phil Sims' name. Come on now. Phil Sims is smart.
Phil Sims is smart. His son's a moron.
Phil Sims is on CBS.
I mean, Chris did win a fucking Super Bowl back in Tampa.
Yeah, Phil Sims is on a show with a bunch of guys that are actually intelligent and know what they're all talking about. So I'm be interested to see what happens with Rodney Harrison. If there's any consequences to that whole interview, I don't know. Do we suspend him a little bit? Do we pull him back? Do we do whatever? But you just can't have a guy on a national platform like that representing NBC Sports, representing all that stuff, just trying to get a grown man to admit that another guy's garbage.
Yeah, man. No, at the end of the day, man, like, I know we just do a podcast and we criticize and, you know, just listen, this is what we do. But for the most part, you know, we can be respectful and acknowledge that. Listen, they play in the NFL. That's the reason they got there. So nonetheless, it's the guy's trying. He was put in a difficult situation. Their franchise quarterback came and got hurt within four plays whenever his first game. So it's a tough situation to be in. This was supposed to be the year that Zach Wilson just kind of soak it all in and learn slow. And then become a better quarterback in the future for the New York Jets or whoever it may be. So, nonetheless, like, shout out once again to Chris Jones. You invite to the barbecue. Paul's got a good point. We can also invite Zach Wilson to the barbecue. You both got the place with the ribs and the mac and cheese and pork and beans touching together. And we'll look out for you. So, all right, let's move on.
Like how Kevin came back right when you said pork and beans touching together, and then he's gone again.
He's gone again. So well, I'm sure he'll come back on whenever he gets the connection for sure. All right. So next question, we can go into our Balls Not Court podcast top five teams of the week up to week four. Paul, who's your top five teams up to week four in the NFL?
My number one is still going to be San Francisco. And them boys are just rolling out in San Francisco. So I'll take San Francisco one. I'm going to slide Buffalo up to number two just because of what they did over there in Miami. I'll drop Miami down to three only because they did play Buffalo. I'll put Dallas at four and Baltimore at five.
Gotcha. KC, welcome back. Who's your top five teams heading into week through week four in the NFL season? Who's your top five, sir?
San Fran, San Francisco, the 49ers, the Niners, and San Francisco 49ers.
Nice. Nice. My top five, the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Detroit Lions are my top five. So good stuff.
You know Paul, what? I'll drop out Baltimore. I'll throw Detroit as number five as well. I like what they're doing over there in Detroit. I'll take Detroit number five.
Yes, I'll drop off San Francisco 49ers and put in somebody else. But the rest of the 49ers, they all stay. I'm just kidding.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move into our picks. I think we're going to change this going forward. The honor always, Kevin Carter. So we're going to name this the Kevin Carter Weekly NFL Picks.
Oh.
Make sure we pay the homage to Mr. Carter. So let's get into the Kevin Carter Weekly NFL Picks. And I let Paul take over and dissect how we did in week four.
Let's go ahead and recap week four. So week four on paper, we thought was crazy. But it ended up not being too bad. So I went 10-6. Kev went 9-7. And then Nostradamus Cortez over here went 13-3.
Holy fucking shit.
Boom. Let's go.
Holy That's shit. Dope. And instead of calling it Kevin Carter picks, let's call it KC's picks. That way you ain't got to say my name all over the time. It's not like I'm fucking dead. You can just use my initials.
And it's almost like he's Casey Kasem.
It's like a memorial service.
All right, so let's see. All right, so for the season going into week numero five, Kevin is 35-29. I am 37-27. And Cortez is in the lead with a whopping 39 wins, 25 losses.
Sound like my fantasy football team right now.
We all are above 500. Hey, don't talk shit. I'm right fucking behind you. I have my team. I have my team all sorted out. I am right fucking behind you in fantasy football.
So, yeah, so that was a big week for a lot of us considering how we came out of week three. So we all rebounded pretty well.
I don't know. Week three was pretty good for me. I won.
It was for you. That's true. Yeah, that's true. It was pretty bad for the rest of us. But hey, we're all well over 500. We're all trending in the right direction. So now it's time for KC's week five picks here. So we're going to start off.
See, that sounds so much better than saying my whole name. Just too much.
Gotcha. Noted. KC's.
Starting off with a little Thursday night football. Got a real barn burner. The Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders.
Oh, fucking hell.
Brought to you by AWS, Amazon Web Services.
This fucking game should be played in Sid's room.
It should be played in the Amazon.
Yes. Yes. No, fucking have little Jeff Bezos people like Toy Story guys running around fucking being the guys.
Oh, man.
We need the claw for this game to claw our fucking eyeballs out.
I'm going to go with the Bears getting their first win. Bold, I know, but I may be wrong because they obviously are tanking the way they let the Broncos came back last week. So,
but I'm going to take the team formerly known as the Redskins.
The Washington football team.
No, the Redskins, goddamn.
Just because Cortez is in the lead, I got to try to catch him. I got to be different. I'll go with the Commanders on that one as well.
Gotcha. All right.
Once again, Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m.
Yay! I get to wake up fucking early again.
The Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Buffalo Bills.
Y'all got another morning game?
Yeah, we stayed over there. So instead of us having to play Buffalo in Buffalo, we got to play them in London. So this is Buffalo's home game because they had a home game this year in London. So they just kept us over there for a week so we could play a away game.
You guys can come back with British accents. That's what's going to happen. Cheerio, eh? Shout out to the Orlando Magic UK.
We are now the Jaguars.
Hey, you love how my Siri, I got it. My Siri speaking British, and they say Jaguar.
Jaguar. You want some Jaguar?
Ooh, this one's tough, Kev. I'm going to Bills, man.
It ain't tough for fucking me.
Love it. Speaking like a true fan. Y'all do give them fits, though.
It's not a true fan. We literally give fucking Buffalo fits every time we freaking play them. And considering they've never been over to London, they've never had to take that trip, and we've been over there, I'm going with the Jags.
All right, then. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Buffalo Bills to win that football game.
Well, bloody fucking hell.
I'll go with the Buffalo Bills to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, you said it wrong.
Jaguar.
The Jaguars.
Jaguar.
Right. Next, Jaguar. We got Saints at Patriots.
So are we going to do this thing now? Or are we going to do the accent of every fucking team that we're picking?
I just going to do it because we were just in London.
Oh, damn. I was like, I could have done it. I could have done my pick for this game and been like, yeah, go Saints.
Mac Jones looking rough. Is Derek Carr back this week?
Yeah, he played last week too. So he did play for the Saints.
He did.
He didn't do great.
But James Saints. Did though.
Yeah. Yeah. Saints win. Patriots in trouble.
Mac Jones stinks. That's all I'm going to tell you. The guy's a wicked pisser. Mac Jones, wicked pisser. I'm going to take the Saints.
You can't do the accent of the other team and then take the other team. Damn it, man.
That was great, though.
He's a wicked pisser.
All right, let's see. The Tennessee Titans against the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh my God, they both all have the same accent. So.
Titans versus Colts.
But as I always like to say, and since this is my last time I'm going to be doing this for a while, fuck the Titans. Go Colts.
No, that felt good to get off your chest one more time, sir.
Fuck them motherfuckers.
I won't go as far as that extreme, but I do think the Colts win.
How good is Anthony Richardson playing?
I'll take Tennessee. Fantastic. I'll take Tennessee. Fantastic. Derrick Henry was doing some things last week, and I'm going to take Tennessee.
Yeah. Ooh, right, buddy.
Next up, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can we talk about a team that is on the cusp of stinking?
They have potential to be a good young team. I thought it was going to come up. But, yeah, I was bragging about them, but they're
Yens is in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're about to be straight out of there.
Yeah. Yins are in a lot of trouble.
I think the quarterback's hurting now too. It's bad. It's looking bad in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah. Yins is fucked.
I'm going Baltimore. I'll take Baltimore.
Baltimore all across the board. Yeah. Baltimore win.
Ooh. Got a battle of the Jungle Cats. We got the Carolina Panthers versus the Detroit Lions.
Oh, ooh. Lions.
Lions.
Yep, Detroit.
All right. Oh, man.
Houston Texans versus the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta.
Oh, Houston's going to win again.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta. I'll take Atlanta at home.
I hope you guys are right.
Miami Dolphins have a bye.
They won. See
the Dolphins.
They have a bye week. They have a bye week. They're playing the New York Giants. They have a bye week.
Oh, shit. God damn.
Well, it's going to be a tough couple weeks for the Giants coming up. So like I said, their ash is already in the mail for me. Miami by a billion.
Miami's pissed too. Yeah.
Yeah, this got potential to be a blowout. Not as bad as the Broncos and the Dolphins blowout, but it's got potential to be a blowout. So I'm going to Dolphins.
Last time Miami played at home, they scored 70 points.
My bad. If we pick Miami, do we have to sound like Scarface? We are taking Miami off. We're going to take Miami. And Miami is going to kick the shit out of the Giants. Okay?
I'm just gonna say have a no English.
Okay. I'm reloaded. Okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. Say hello to my little friend. And then he pulls Tyreek Hill out.
That's right. And then Will Smith and Gloria Estefan, everybody's having a big old party, and it's gonna be awesome. The Bengals versus the Cardinals, the first 4:05 game of the day.
Oh, wow. They both are bad. They both are not good right now. But I guess Ja'Marr Chase will get a couple of throws his way since he's always open, and they'll find a way to win this game. I'll take the Bengals. The Bengals really have to win this game.
Yeah, it's a must win for the Bengals.
Yeah. Got to take care of business. Bengals will win. Even though I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a close game. But Bengals will win.
I think the Bengals win this one. I'm going to take Cincinnati as well. All right. Potentially maybe a test for the Eagles this week. 4:05 game, Eagles at Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams.
I want to take the Rams, but I think the Eagles just going to find another squeaker to squeak this out so the Eagles will win.
I will also take the Rams because fuck the Eagles.
I like it. There you go. They hate Santa Claus. There you go. That's what I've been waiting on. There you go. Fuck the Eagles.
Next 4:25 kickoff, the New York Jets. Fuck the
Cowboys. Oh,
the New York Jets versus Cortez's Denver Broncos.
Oh, my God. Ooh. Oh, Lordy.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. As a fan, I will be listening to this game on radio, but I'm sorry.
It's a Zach Wilson number two coming out game. I think the Jets win.
Broncos will figure it out and somehow get a win this game. But one surprise me is that wasn't golf for like three touchdowns, probably 250, 300 yards, because Broncos is making every quarterback look like they're all Madden. That's what they make them look like. So they somehow win. I don't know how. They somehow win, and I will still be throwing sideways compliments or backhand compliments how they won the game.
You'd be pissed.
I'll take the Jets. Why not? I just want to see Zach Wilson show the world he's not garbage. Let's go, pal. Now's your chance. Because if you play garbage against the Denver Broncos, you might be garbage.
If you do, yes.
So this is your chance.
But we're not calling you that, though. We're not calling you that, though.
I'm speaking for Rodney Harrison. That's all I'm saying. Those aren't my words.
No. Those aren't my words.
Quoting Rodney Harrison. Yep.
Next 425 game. Kansas City Chiefs at Minnesota Vikings.
I hate picking the Chiefs, man. I really do. But they're going to win this game.
You have to. Because you know why? You know why you have to pick the Chiefs on this game? Because go ahead and say it, Paul.
Listen, Travis Kelce got a girl to go to New Jersey.
God damn it. Look here. If I'm watching football, the last fucking thing I want to see is Taylor Swift. The only reason it was okay is because goddamn Deadpool and Wolverine were in the fucking booth with them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Kev. It's less about Taylor Swift, and it's more of the fact that the Vikings fucking stink.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear.
The NFL literally had a Taylor Swift photo on their Twitter or S page with her sitting in the booth. What are you doing right now? And for that, the Chiefs will win, unfortunately. Hope they
Maybe
lose.
That's why Zach Wilson played so good. He knew Travis Kelce's mom was there.
Yeah. She stay out too late.
Mama Kelce, let y'all know. Watch out now.
BBW. Oh.
That's fucked up.
That's someone's mom, Cortez. You shouldn't. She's catching strays now.
I just said she's a big body woman.
Sometimes
we like them big. Sometimes we like them small.
You got to be. You see the size of those kids? She's got to be.
Hey, and this is the day Balls Not Court got canceled.
She had to have some fucking hips to push them big motherfuckers out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, we have a solid primetime matchup on Sunday night, 8:20 kickoff. Dallas Cowboys at the 49ers.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the 49ers.
I'm feeling frisky. I think the Cowboys are going to prove themselves. It's going to be a nail biter. Cowboys will win this game on the road.
I'm a simple man. Cowboys lost to Cardinals. Niners thumped Cardinals. Niners beat Cowboys.
Plus, what do you want to say?
Cowboys suck.
Fuck the Cowboys. There you go.
And then Monday Night Football. I kind of missed the doubleheaders now because the last couple games have been suspect. But we got the Green Bay Packers at Las Vegas Raiders.
Jesus.
Davante Adams going back to Green Bay.
I think Davante Adams is hurt. Pretty sure he got hurt in the last game.
Yeah, probably pushed a cameraman again or something.
I'll go with the Packers.
Packers. F the Raiders.
Yeah. There you go. I'm glad I'm rubbing off.
Because the eye test for me is that the Raiders stink. So I'll take Green Bay.
All right. Good picks there. So, hey, before we go, let's hop into just some quick tidbits. You know, this is the month of October of baseball is into the playoffs. Hockey is around the corner. Halloween is on the horizon. And basketball is almost back.
And there's baseball postseason, too. Don't skip over the baseball people. They're out there.
I started that out with that, Paul. Okay. I said MLB playoffs is around. I actually watched a couple of games, and I fell asleep on one of them. But hey, we're here. We're here. Anywho, I got to get the opinion from our resident.
Hold on. Are we going to talk about media days?
Yes.
Hold on. I will turn my camera on for a second. There you go. There you go.
What do you think about Emo Jimmy, sir?
Because tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
Y'all leave me alone. I'm in character.
I'm in my emo phase.
So how do you feel right now?
I feel fine.
Are you sure?
I feel perfectly okay.
You feel perfectly okay?
I feel like I need to go lay down and listen to some Nirvana.
Shout out to emo Kevin Carter during the show.
Yeah. I got Evanescence playing in the background.
Paramore's on deck.
Wake me up inside. Wake me up inside.
Hey, we did wake you up that September ended, so you know.
You remember? Oh, there you go. Okay, that was hot.
He's back.
That's so, the only time you were going to get me on camera. Now I'm going back off.
Welcome. Paul, your thoughts about emo.
Oh my God. Oh
man. Jimmy Butler just what a guy.
This whole post is going on Instagram, by the way.
What a guy.
This is going on Instagram.
Jimmy Butler has to be one of the funniest non-humorous guys you would think there's out there. Like, you wouldn't view Jimmy Butler as being just hilarious and funny, but he has his own quirky ass sense of humor. And when you come out and your fucking hair is straight as a fucking out, it's fucking funny. You look like you just forgot to use too much relaxer on your hair, and then it just fucking just fell.
He looks like he's in the Hey Ya video.
Like, I knew black girls. I know black girls that would kill for that hairdo right now.
So jealous. They're so jealous. Listen,
that's the funny thing is it doesn't matter what anyone else, like, media doesn't even matter anymore. Jimmy Butler just, oh man,
he did it last year.
They're coming out with all kinds of memes and like names for him too. Like, I saw one, it was like Panic at the Free Throw and Ball Out Boy.
Like, Jimmy looked like he would go to karaoke and sing Zombie.
Straight up.
Shout out Cranberries.
but aside from Jimmy Butler's side, Dame looked pretty good in a Bucks jersey.
Oh, don't get Kevin started.
I'm still not calling it Cream City, but it's fine.
Free time in Cream City with the white Cream City jersey. Let's go, man.
But look here. This is what I see. Portland traded all these guys to everyone else. And when Miami actually gave them something of substance for the other guy, they traded him to the fucking Boston Celtics. So what does that all say? Them motherfuckers is just petty. But this is what gets me of all the things. Did either one of them motherfucking teams that just got to trade beat Miami in the playoffs?
They didn't last year, no.
Okay, then they can all go suck an egg until they do.
Hey, so there's just a few quotables that I want to hit y'all with. Nikola Jokic said he has not touched a basketball only a couple times during this offseason. This man has been living his life.
That's what I've been screaming for people to do in the offseason. Fucking take your offseason and use it as what it is. It's an offseason. Don't touch this shit. Let it fucking go. Do what the old guys used to do back in the day. When it's time to crank it back up, crank it back up. Easy as fucking pie. Thank you, Joker, for doing the shit that I've been saying people should be doing.
Paul, your thoughts about Joker just saying, hey, I'm just chilling. He don't want a title.
I look at Jokic, and I think that's every offseason. That guy's built like a guy who doesn't train much in the offseason. He goes back to Serbia or whatever, and he just lives in the cold and
play with his horses.
Yeah, drinks a whole bunch of beer and eats ho-hos and ding-dongs and then dominates
the shit when he comes back.
That's it.
And he is a top five player in the NBA league. How about
when you're a guy who dominates off of skill and doesn't have to rely upon athleticism. Hey, man. Take care of the joints, pal.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have to make shitty-ass workout videos in the offseason like he's a rookie coming into his 21st season. Fucking douchebag.
You don't get hoodie. You don't get hoodie mellow videos in the offseason for Nikola Jokic.
We saw videos of him dancing and having a bottle of wine for sure. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Playing with
his
horses.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. That's what I'm fucking talking chilling. About.
My man.
Hey, speaking of the Lakers, Anthony Davis had a response to all the Nuggets chatter. It just was a lot of talking. We get it. Y'all won. But me and Brian had the same conversations. We can't wait to play the Nuggets this year.
Yes, because that might be the only game that we're fucking healthy for. Look here. You're not allowed to say shit until you play a whole fucking basketball season. That's it. Yeah, tired. I'm tired of listening to Anthony Davis is one of the most talented motherfuckers. He just can't stay goddamn healthy. You are not allowed to say a damn thing or claim a championship until you actually play a whole fucking season. That bubble shit don't count, because if it would have been a whole fucking season, your ass wouldn't have been playing. The only reason your ass is playing in that bubble shit is because they took 3 months fucking off for you to get healthy.
Kevin, Paul, can I ask y'all a question?
What?
In the Western Conference Finals, how many times the Lakers beat the Nuggets?
That would be Bupkis.
Zero.
Yes, that would be Bupkis.
So the Nuggets can talk all the trash they want to.
Exactly.
You didn't even beat them one game. The Minnesota Timberwolves beat them one game in the first round. Bupkis. The Minnesota Timberwolves won a game over the Denver Nuggets over you in the Western Conference Finals, who had a deeper team than the Minnesota Timberwolves. So guess what? As the video said, at the championship parade, Mike Malone, aka the Lakers daddy, he owns you guys. They own you guys.
Maybe Anthony Davis should stop talking about the Nuggets and go suck off Austin Reeves some more.
Yeah. All right. And I got one more quotable before we wrap.
Just goes, yeah.
Nothing else to be said.
Everyone on that motherfucker, really, I get he's white and he's decent, but goddamn, he's not fucking Larry Bird.
He's not even JJ Redick.
He's not even Larry Tweety Bird. Like, fucking hell. Like, he's dude, good. Come on, he's good, but he's in no way as good as you make him out to be.
Well, we all know because you put on a Lakers uniform, they're going to overvalue you. And that's exactly what they're doing with Austin Reeves.
And it's exactly what me and CL have said on the podcast before. The NBA is always looking for the Caucasian unicorn.
Yeah.
They want that one white guy that they can go, look, we got one.
Hey, give him a few years. Cooper Flatt's coming.
Yeah, dude.
that white boy can ball, son.
I really want the guy with the last name Dick to be good.
Grady Dick.
Oh,
that'd
yeah.
be funny.
Look, Dick we got trust. Good. And then you can say this. Look, we got good Dick.
Change his name to Grade A Dick.
Say 95% of women ever.
Yep. We got good Dick.
All right, so I got one more for y'all. Now, this tickled me a little bit, but I think this is very egregious. Markelle Fultz quoted, and I said, I think we can come out the East. I believe we can do that.
Markelle. Markel.
Don't. Go easy on my guy. Go easy on my guy.
In the immortal words of being emo Kevin right now and listening to No Doubt, please don't speak.
I will add this though. The only team that I really do fear is Milwaukee because they beat us all the time. But no, it is a stretch. I don't think we're coming out the East. I think we're a play-in, potentially playoff team, but I don't think we're coming out the East. If that happened, you either had to have two superstars, one of these rookies must be an All-NBA rookie. There's a lot of things that's got to happen.
Yes.
That'd be crazy.
Three whole teams have to die.
I mean, damn, Kevin, you had to go like that.
Magic signed Mac McClung, didn't they?
You have to literally have significant traumatic injuries to Giannis, Dame, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler. You have to legit suck all of them off of it, and then the Magic will have a chance.
Hey, I'm generally shocked he said this. I admire the confidence. I don't think we're not even close to being there yet. But good for him to believe that and put that in the locker room.
Whatever you do, overachieve. In 2 days from now, we're going to hear he had COVID. He was thinking with fever brain.
Oh,
and so that's all. Also, one last thing, too. Apparently, Zion Williamson says he feels like he's unguardable right now.
At the buffet line, yes.
Correct. at the Golden Corral.
At the Cracker Barrel.
Yes. And at the Chinese all-you-can-eat crab leg buffet, yes, he is unfucking guardable.
I will say this, though. He looks great. He does look great. Here. He's in fantastic shape.
Look here. Zion is a tremendous fucking basketball player when he plays. If he stays healthy and plays, then I'll say something different. But right now, dude, can't trust you.
Hey, all we knew for Zion offseason, he was messing with a porn star.
There you go. Maybe that's why he's in shape.
And the porn star was crazy. Well, yeah, most women are crazy.
Whoa, shush. Sorry, ladies. Listen. The thoughts of Cortez Paul are not the thoughts of all men on the Ball in Our Court podcast.
Sorry, ladies, but all you motherfuckers are crazy. Sorry.
As once again, Paul coming in being the great equalizer there. I like it. So
you can equalize all you want to. I'm leaving, so I can see what I want out the door.
This guy. All right. Well, anything else we got to add before we wrap this bad boy up? Let me go ahead and shut it. We're at 1:25. Good episode today. All right. So make sure you stay tuned for Cortez and, well, Paul.
It's the Pauls. Pauls are in your court now.
Paul, no, you can't change my. No, you can't change the name. I still get royalties.
So yeah, make sure Kevin, he can give his one Twitter at name one last time.
You can find me at KevinC2415.
Mr. Mac,
the underscore Paul underscore Mac on X.
Get the park.
And then what? And then the Paul Mac 520 on Instagram, and that's it.
All right, you can find me at End of Mine CP on Etsy. You can also follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast on Etsy. Also, Instagram and TikTok is BIOC Podcast. You can go to our Facebook page and like Balls Not Court Podcast there. You can also go to our Anchor, which is also Spotify, which is anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartPlay, Speaker, Windows, Anchor, Spotify, or as Kevin will say, until next time.
Yeah, until next time, wherever you listen to this before, you can listen to these guys later.
Absolutely. So, well, thank Kevin for showing. I'm sure Paul wanted to play something, so he was queuing something up. What you going to play,
No,
Paul?
No. I don't play anything. I just want to say, just for Kev, with all the Toy Story, I know you really enjoy the Toy Story stuff, but to infinity and beyond, my friend.
Oh, thank
you, brother.
Absolutely. To the legend.
I appreciate it. And like I said before, it's not a goodbye. It
see you later, pal. I'll be around. And like I said, if anybody ever needs anything, all they got to do is reach out and I'll be right back on it for a show. I'm not going to be gone, but I'll be around.
Emo Kev might be gone, but
Kev. Yeah, Emo Kev's like, whatever. I don't feel like talking.
Fantastic. All right, four. One last
it's
time.
It's not me. It's not me. It's not my. Oh, sorry.
For the last time, for Kevin Carter.
And their drums. And their drums.
Cortez Paul. Boss Not Court Podcast. Y'all have a good evening. Take care,
zombie,
guys.
Zombie. Zombie. Oh, sorry.